And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hit high in the air to left field. Going to the corner, Yastrzemski. It's over the wall. It's a home run for Bucky Dent. Yankees get the lead 3-2, and it just cleared the left field. Just cleared the top of the wall in left.
Now the Yankee dugout, who has been very quiet up till right now, they are out in force.
Welcome to the Sports Kings from Queens. We're all the sports talkers, royal, real, and straight from the boroughs. Today, it's Monday, September 29th. This is episode 195. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. As usual, please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube. If you like a post, say you like the post. Send us a question if you got a question. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to leave us any comments, questions. You got it. Tonight, we're talking baseball as the regular season has ended in a disastrous finish for one of our local teams. We're going to get into it. Yankees finished 94-68. They're the wild card. Mets finished 83-79. They are out of the playoffs. Ended up in a tie with the Reds. Reds had the tiebreaker. Kev, let's start with the Mets.
It was a slow, long, torturous fall from grace. From June 13th.
I was going to use the word agonizing, but that's fine.
That's another. I didn't look that in the thesaurus. And all right, way to go. In case we get distracted, we're recording this watching the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets Monday Night Football game, so there might be some distractions here. Anyway, so yeah, they woke up June 13th, 45-24, and they were 38-55 since. Only four teams were worse than them.
Wow.
So did they deserve the playoffs? Obviously not. You know, those last 95 games, they had an 8-game losing streak, 2 7-game losing streaks. You know, we said in the preseason, they did not have an ace. And they didn't have that one guy to be a stopper to go out there and end the losing streak. The injuries, of course, killed them also. Every team has injuries. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, 47 pitchers, and half of those shouldn't have been the major league pitchers, period. I mean, this game of musical chairs with the last 2 or 3 spots in the bullpen. I mean, they cost us how many games this year? You take a look, you know, from that mid-June point when Senga gets hurt on the bad throw by Pete, strains his hamstring. Do you remember back in late June, they go into Pittsburgh and lose 30-4 and get swept? That was embarrassing. Little things, throwaway games. First game after the All-Star break, everybody is rested. Manai gives you 4 because they're babying him coming back from the injury. He gives him 4. He leaves a 2-1 lead. And they go with a combination of Carrillo and Waddell. And he gave up 7 runs, and they lose. Then in September, the last 6 weeks of the season, they lose 2 series to Washington, and they lose the last series to Miami. And don't show up. 4-0 in the final game. I mean, like I said, it was just you could pick different points. They just never found a way to win. 0-70 when trailing after 8 innings. Only team without a win in the 9th inning.
They're consistent, though. You got to give them the consistency, Kev.
They are. We saw enough of Zach Pop and Alex Carrillo and Jose Castillo and Blake Tidwell and all these other no-names. Richard Lovelady was on the team how many times? And Hergett and all this stuff. I mean, enough. And I know we didn't have an ace, and I think that was the biggest downfall. That was the biggest hole that Stearns left of the team. There was no ace on the staff. And the offense, very inconsistent. You know, Vientos, Gino, you called it in our previous preseason. You said Vientos would be nowhere near what he was last year. And by God, you were right.
I don't like that I was right, Kev. Go ahead, finish.
Yes, you do. No, but, smiling. But, anyway, go ahead.
No, but.
and then center, do you want me to say it? And center field turned out to be a black hole the entire season. I mean, I don't think the center field has hit 200 this year for the Mets. bullpen, you know, the injuries early to Minter and Young. And then we thought Stearns did a good job at the trade deadline between Soto and Rogers and Helsley. And all three of them blew up in their face. And now we're into next year. We'll talk about Hostel. We'll talk about what we think they need to be doing later on after we have a chance to let this loss settle. But, you know, like you said, Gino, this was one of your predictions, what, about 3 weeks ago that they were going to not make the playoffs? Well, you were right on that one, too. I mean, we saw it coming. It was not a surprise. And just a terrible season.
So Kev, yeah. April 1st, we did our baseball preview. We did our predictions. I didn't think the Mets were going to make it. I said there would be some regression.
Yep.
You know, I didn't get Lindor right. I told you he would regress. He didn't. He gave you exactly what he... I was on the regression for Vientos, yes. Yep. I said you had a catching problem, and I went back and jotted all this stuff down. And then my last point of why I thought they weren't going to make the playoffs was because I said the starters were a mess, and this could be a disaster. Okay,
and it turned out to be a disaster.
You got a total of 60 innings out of Minaya. You got 38 innings out of Montas. You wound up getting 165 innings out of Holmes.
Yeah, and his last game was his best game of the year.
And on April 1st, Kev, I said, you're going to be lucky if you get 120 out of him. You got 165 out of him. You know, hitting-wise, you know, Soto was good. Alonso was good. Lindor was good. Nimmo was good. You got good hitting. It's just the pitching. And we talked about this in the offseason. We talked about this at the deadline. At the deadline, there didn't seem to be any starters available out there. So the next best thing, which a lot of teams did, the Yankees did, the Mets did, was go pick up all these relief pitchers to try to bridge the gap. The problem is when you keep losing starting pitching, at some point you just are going to run out. That's just what it comes down to. Either that or you got to pitch the guys you have and deal with it. Darren? You
know, I mean, listen, my only point is simple, and I've been saying it a lot this year. David Stearns is convinced he's the smartest guy in the room every time he walks into the room. He found a way last year to have everything work without an optimal staff. Said, I can do this every year. I have the clinic. I have it. Nobody else can duplicate what I can do. Simple fact of the matter is he learned this year that if they don't have the arms, it doesn't matter how far in advance you are with your clinic. We can all sit there and talk about different things. And Gino, you said the offense was fine. The offense was empty a lot of this year. I got to be honest with you. I know statistically at the end of the year, and it's a statistical sport, but there were so many games where they just didn't show the life I wanted to see. You're right, though, when you talk about the overall numbers. Soto has a great year on paper. His homers were empty for the most part, though. And that's a problem for me, G.
But the most part, for the most part, any of these playoff teams, if you get four guys that hit like they had, you're going to be a good hitting team. And they, for the most part, they were. I know they have the gaps here and there.
Teams don't go into 8-7 game losing streaks as much as the Mets did. Agreed. They all slumped together.
Yeah.
And it was like, listen, it's not a shot because I think there's a lot of things to like about the team. The thing that we didn't like was, listen, everybody in the world knew Montas was a bad signing, right? Everybody knew.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one that sat there and said, you know what? Stearns is going to fix this guy. Nobody, because he sucks. All right. And then, you know, you sit there and you don't get Minaya back, and he's never right when you get him back. Senga never shows anything, even though it looked like he was coming in hot, you know, at the end of last year a little bit. Like, oh, he gave you the one good playoff spot. Maybe he'll do it again in the regular season. He never did it. Peterson gave you, you know, five amazing months, and then, you know, he just didn't have it in September. Holmes was better than I expected, to be honest with you. He was even with the ups and downs, he was better than I expected. The problem with this team is they're top four hitters, top five in the league, you know, of overall, you know, teams, you know, top five starting, you know, that you could have. The bottom five in this lineup was awful. The bottom five was just awful. And you can't win when you don't get production from the bottom of the order. You can't win when you don't have someone that can stop a losing streak. You just can't win. I mean, listen, nothing against Peterson, But Peterson's not that guy. You say, well, he's my stopper. He's going to go out there and get me the automatic win. He's just not going to be able to do it. And that's where the problem is.
Peterson is at best of three.
And now you sit there and you go into next year, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, and you feel good about McLean and Sprout, and you feel like Peterson's fine, and you have to find a one. There has to be someone that comes in and becomes the 1A along with McLean. Not that he's earned one status yet, but you know what I mean. And that's where we sit. And that's what we have to see. But I there's a lot of blame to go around on this team. I thought Mendy managed awful yesterday. Come on. You know, you gotta try him and you know, not panic. And this team never shows up in big spots against the Marlins. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's like Florida, Miami, whatever we call them now, owns them. And that's the biggest problem. But anyway, that's my take on the Mets.
Yep. Now the two big things, we're pretty sure Diaz will likely opt out. Alonso's ready to say he's opting out. So those
It was just bad timing for Alonso. And I know they asked the question, but, you know, just say, hey, listen, the season just ended. I love being a Met. I can't wait to continue my career with a Met. And then let's see what happens. But you don't have to sit there and say, it's been a good run. You know, I'd rather see you shut your mouth, but you made it seem
answer
like
it tomorrow. To go. Or,
you know,
answer it when you have to declare you're opting out. Don't have to do it right after the game.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little bit, a little stupid. And, you know, Mendy's already been announced that he'll be back. So we'll see what goes on, but they have to come back. They have to get at least one starter. That's what it comes down to.
It's going to be hard to figure out who that starter is.
Well, it's not easy to find them. They're going to have to go all in on a guy like a Ryan who was available at the trade deadline. They're going to have to go all in and trade for a big time arm. They're going to have to go out and get Zach Gallen. They got to get somebody and hope he's the guy. That's really what it comes down to. I don't think there's any other solution for the Mets.
Nope. Okay. Kev? Let's talk about the other team that actually did make the playoffs from New York.
Okay, so Yankees went on a winning streak, wound up going 9-1 in their last 10, won their last 8 in a row. Toronto kept winning, so they wind up finishing a game behind Toronto, and they are now the 4 seed as we head into the playoffs. They're going to host Boston for a 3-game set. It's a 2 out of 3, the first round. All three at the home field. Yankees have home field advantage for all three games. Darren, we thought they would finish the season well with a lot of subpar teams on their calendar. They did.
Yep.
They got all the way to this point. If Toronto didn't get hot the last 10 games, they probably would have been the 1 seed, but they're the 4 seed. What do you got?
Listen, you know, they did everything you were expecting them to do. They played well in the other stretch too, against the good teams when they had that 12-game stretch and they went 7-5. Listen, you really can't critique what this team did down the stretch. They had a great September. Judge is starting to hit. Stanton's hitting. Bellinger's kind of cooled off a little bit, but against lefties, he still finds a way to get on. Chisholm's put up numbers. They may not be great average numbers, but they're numbers. Ben Rice became a revelation. Grisham had a career year. A lot of things happened right for the Yankees. And then you go into it and you look and you're like, the rotation has really kind of been great down the stretch. I mean, Fried refound himself. Rodon had an excellent year throughout, actually. He was really solid. Schlittler has become, the most untalked about young rookie arm in New York because all these Met arms came up. Schlittler's had an amazing season. And then you talk about Heal, who's come on. And you talk about Warren, who, as a guy you didn't expect much from as a fifth starter, I think any team would have taken him. So you go through it, and the team's solid.
They got 32 starts out of Fried, 19-5. They got 33 starts out of Rodon, 18-9. And then they got 33 starts out of Warren. 33 starts out of Warren.
No, I mean, he took the ball every fifth day. He was better at home than on the road. But still, he wow, he was a revelation as well.
Yeah.
So now you go into it, and the Yankees have a lot to offer. They have a really good lineup. They have solid pitching. The bullpen is the issue. You know, the moves that the Yankees made. Bednar, who, let's remember, was sent down to the minors in Pittsburgh because he was so ineffective, is the only guy we can count on. Okay, Devin Williams has been so up and down, it's ridiculous. He was supposed to be the closer. We were supposed to see, you know, what's his name? Doval be something special. He's been awful. You know, Weaver's regressed. Cruz has been okay. But if he doesn't get ahead in the count, you know, that split finger means nothing. So you sit there and you go through this bullpen, and that's where you worry, because now we have to bridge the gap. Kev said it well last week. Most teams are trying to get 5 to 6 out of their starters. The Yankees are trying to get 7. Realistically, you know, outside of Rodon, the three guys that will be starting, because they announced Schlittler to be the game 3 guy, could give you 7. But it's and then mix and match. But with the 3-batter thing, it's not like you used to be able to mix and match, just bring in a guy for one guy and then change it. They changed the rules, and it's probably for the better. I'm not trying to dispute it, but it hurts the Yankees in this kind of series, Jake.
Well, look, for this round, Fried, Rodon, Schlittler is 3. Yep. You're going to go Bednar, Devin Williams, and Weaver is 6. Cruz is 7. You figure they bring 2 lefties in Hill and Yarborough is 9.
Duvall. Heel could come in a big spot. Well,
and that's it. So the 10th and 11th spots are probably Duvall, Heel. If you're bringing Warren on this roster, which you probably don't because it's only 3 games, and then the only other guy really is Mark Leiter. That's really the 4 guys for 2 spots, and Warren probably isn't in this series because it's only 3 games, right? Yeah, so that's probably the way it breaks down. You know, listen, as long as they get a couple of those guys to pitch well, and again, there's no saying that that's going to happen, but, you know, if they can bridge that gap, I think they're going to be okay. I think game 1's going to be critical. Fried and Crochet tomorrow is going to be it's going to be tough. They got to get past Crochet. I think they do that, and they got a really great shot here.
Well, here's the thing about the Yankees, and Kev, you could give us your thoughts, but the Yankees aren't afraid of anybody in the American League. And at the same time, nobody in the American League is afraid of the Yankees either.
Agreed. So
there's no dominant team. Like in the National League, even though they had a disappointing year, the Dodgers and the Phillies would be the 2 teams, despite the fact that the Brewers are the 1. In the American League, I don't think anybody's sitting there saying, uh-oh, I don't want to have to face Toronto. Uh-oh, yeah. Seattle scares the hell out of me. Uh-oh, Detroit, Cleveland, Boston, Yankees. Nobody's scared you because everybody has warts.
Yeah.
You know, the Phillies and the Dodgers right now, if they don't become the 2 teams that make it in the National League, it'll be a bit of a surprise. And they won't because they're going to play each other in the 2nd round. But you know what I mean? But the winner of that one, you expect to get through. Just my take on it, Kev. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's hard to believe, you know. Well, first of all, for the Yankees finishing stretch, we said this a month ago going into September. If the Yankees can survive, like you said, Darren, that key stretch there where it was that 12-game stretch where they went, 7-5 against the other contenders, that set them up perfectly.
Yep.
Those last 2 weeks, they played great. They had the best record in the American League.
Yeah.
Tied with Toronto.
Yep.
You can't complain about their season. Like you said, you know, you guys did a good job of explaining, you know, the strength of the pitching is the starting and Bednar, and the middle is a crapshoot. The offense, you know, we know they can put up runs with anybody. You know, they need to go out and beat Boston. And yeah, I know that I'm doing that this year.
Yep.
I mean, there's one team, you know, like you said, who's not afraid of who? Well, we know the Red Sox are not afraid of the Yankees.
They beat them. I don't think anybody's afraid of the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees are afraid of anybody else. I think it's just a wide open year. The Yankees, 4 games ahead of the Red Sox? 3, 4, something like that? Maybe 5.
Like that.
It was close. Yeah, it was close.
I think Darren had said it best last week, which is, you know, so much of this is going to hinder on Judge in the playoffs. And if Judge is a monster, you know, it's going to be really difficult. If he's destroying games, it's going to be very difficult for these other teams to, you know, to get past it, but they're going to need other guys. So if they're getting other, you know, if they're getting production for some of these other players, it should be fine.
Let's get into the series. Let's break it down.
Aaron Judge, just want to tell you. So Aaron Judge, ready?
Yep.
Finished first in batting average. Yep. Fourth in home runs, second in runs scored, second in walks, first in intentional walks, first in on-base slugging, OBA, OPS, runs created, WAR, and WPA, he was second. So all this talk, you were on the money when you said it last week that basically the only two categories that Raleigh beat him in was home runs and RBIs. And he still finished second, he still finished fourth in home runs, so with 53. So it should be I don't know how close of a vote we're going to see it, but let's get into Yankees. So Yankees,
well, just to answer that, we have a historic year from Raleigh.
Yeah.
And an epic year from Judge. It's not like, you know, I mean, Judge did it hurt, you know, down the stretch. So, you know, he finally figured it out, but he had a month where he couldn't figure it out with the pain. He thought he might lose him for the year. There was talk of the Yankees selling. There was a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And then it becomes the other way. So
the problem is that, yeah, the numbers were better than they usually are, but it almost feels like this is a normal Aaron Judge year. As sick as those numbers are, it's almost normal. And for Raleigh to come out and get to 60, Raleigh have nowhere to get to 60 and play catcher and lead Seattle from nowhere to their division title, that's where Raleigh's going to get some of the MVP. But votes is going to be anti-Yankee, anti-sick, not so much sick of Judge, but we want somebody different to vote for. And I think you might get some votes going to Raleigh that way. We'll see how much of an impact that has.
Listen, it's an historic year. Switch hitting catcher hitting 60 homers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to downplay it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. I also hit 240. You know, the guy was 200 points behind in basically every of those one of those big stats with the OPS. And, you know, even on base, he was over 100 points back. I mean, so it's like it's going to be interesting to see if they take the full collection or if they really just honor the historic season that was had by Raleigh. Well, both are deserved.
And now you go into the playoffs. You know, Aaron Judge needs to be regular season Aaron Judge even.
No, nah, he does.
I mean, just average Aaron Judge. He doesn't be Superman. There's enough talent on this team. He just needs to be Aaron Judge, period.
You know how many big hits he had this year, like just singles and stuff and big games? That's what you need. You need him to drive in runs.
Because we haven't seen it yet, and that's been the one knock on him.
Mm-hmm.
And what is a Hall of Fame career? You know, the World Series title, like we said last week, the World Series title would just finish his Hall of Fame plaque very nicely.
Yeah, I think he goes down as the best hitter of this generation, or really damn close if you're going to go to Ohtani. And that's it. I mean, you know, there's really nobody else even in the same field as those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into it. Yankees, Red Sox, three games at Yankee Stadium. First one is Freed Crochet. Darren, you want to talk about it?
Well, here's the thing. We haven't seen Crochet in a postseason, right? For Freed, you know, what's he, 2-5 with a 5.10 ERA in the postseason? It's Rodon. Rodon is like, it was a 1-3 with a 6.64 ERA in the postseason. You know, it's not like it's not like these Yankee pitchers have been great, but the thing about it is that we've seen great pitchers struggle in postseason play. Kershaw has never been great. Maddux was never great. Glavin was never great. Smoltz was, but we don't know what Crochet's going to be either. You know, so we're going to find out if Crochet's got the stones to do it or not, and we really don't know the answer to that. The thing about the Red Sox, if you want to talk about the things that they're up against, Roman Anthony's will not be playing. Marcelo Mai will not be playing. Those are two big young bats that are going to hurt them a little bit, where they don't have the opportunity to have those guys in. The other thing about the Red Sox is, if you can believe it, they actually were worse defensively than the Yankees. They committed more errors. It's like, you know, they weren't a great fundamental team, but they're young and they're feisty and they're a wild squad. Their bullpen, you know, Chapman's been outstanding. Yep. Whitlock has been good. I mean, you know, Justin Wilson and Greg Weissert don't scare you. Jordan,
in fact, good years.
I wouldn't call Wilson's year good. I'd call Weiser's year good. I think Wilson, I know he had a lot of holds, but he also gave up a pretty good batting average. You know, there were a lot of things that I didn't think he was great with. But the Jordan Hicks move obviously didn't work for them, much like the Yankees' big moves didn't work for them. So, you know, for the Yankees, they got the talent. They should be able to find a way to win this series. I expect the Yankees to be able to win this game in two, the series in two. I think they got more. I think they have more experience. And I think that Stanton is the difference maker. Right now he's feeling – I mean, listen, we know what you're getting with Stanton in the regular season. Is it odd that he came into, you know, spring training with tennis elbow on both elbows, didn't get him checked in the offseason, felt it before the season ended, still didn't get it checked out? Of course it's odd. But now it's playoff Stanton. And to be honest with you, I can ask you, any of you guys, both of you guys should say, does anyone have any doubt that Stanton's going to hit in this series?
No.
He's the only – you
no,
know,
I don't.
So with the tennis elbow and all the stupidity that goes on with Stanton, when he feels like playing, he plays, and he plays well. Bellinger against lefties, which I love tomorrow night against Crochet, because Bellinger is just great against left-handers, and he makes it a little bit more awkward. And if the Yankees can work the counts and get to that bullpen, I'm going to take my chances. I think the Yankees sweep. G?
I think tomorrow night is the game. The game that is the issue is getting past Crochet. You know, the last time we saw him, it was 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. And, you know, that's the one thing that keeps sticking in my head. I'm going to say Yankees get past. I'm going to say 3. But does Schlittler pitching game 3 concern you at all, Darren?
No.
He doesn't?
It probably should, but okay. It'll be a short leash kind of game. I mean, I could see him giving – if he had a pitch game three, who would you rather? Would you rather have Heel in that game?
No, I mean, I know the schedule didn't work out this way, but I almost would have liked Rodon in that game.
Well, they could have done that.
More than I would have liked Schlittler. And honestly, if it wasn't Schlittler, I think I would have preferred Warren.
Well, Warren's been good at home.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, listen, I think Crochet, it's going to be hard to get past Crochet. But I think they get past. I think the Yankees survive here. And honestly, and this is me, I think this is the one series that scares me. I don't know if anybody else in the American League scares me to any extent.
No, this like is, I said, I don't think anybody scares anyone.
Yeah.
You know, Kev, what do you think?
I think the Yankees lineup is obviously better than the Red Sox lineup. I like the Red Sox bullpen a little bit better. The only starting pitching even comparison is game one with Crochet and Fried. If the Yankees win game one, they win both. They win in two. The only game the Red Sox have a chance to win is game one. If they do, then the Yankees win in three. But the Yankees will win the series.
Okay. Two or three?
I'm going to say 3. Okay. I think Crochet pitches a real good game. And, you know, I think the key is for the Red Sox, Crochet's really got to go deep and limit the exposure for the rest of the bullpen.
Okay. I can see it. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you because I definitely can see it. All right. The other American League series is Detroit at Cleveland. Darren,
see this? Detroit tried as hard as they could to get knocked out of the playoffs, but Houston said, no, we want to lose more than you. And Houston just did. I mean, Houston just said, we're going to underperform more than you guys are, which you don't expect against a team of Houston's pedigree, even though they were getting younger and all that fun stuff. But the problem is that, you know, I think Detroit, once they get in, is dangerous. Here's the thing. Neither one of these teams has anything special, okay? They have one guy each. Jose Ramirez is the best player on the field. Riley Green is the second best player on the field. You can put everybody else in the pot, and you'll never know who's going to be the guy. The next best offensive player on Detroit is Torkelson because he hit the homers. The next best guy is Manzardo for Cleveland because he hit the homers. I mean, the rotation, you know, the Guardians had the two pitchers with the double-digit wins, right? Gavin Williams came on. BB was pretty good. You know, Ciccone pitches game three. Doesn't exactly blow you away. Detroit only announces Skubal, who theoretically should be the best pitcher in the series. You know, Detroit's got so many things. You look, only one guy, McKinstry, stole 19 bases. Nobody else had more than eight. And the guy that had eight is the guy that barely plays. It's Wenzel Perez, right? He had eight. Everybody else had five or less. The team stole 60 bases for the year. They don't run. The only guys that hit over 260 were McKinstry again, who's supposed to be a role guy that plays every day, and catcher Dylan Dingler. The Guardians, on the other hand, they also don't have much. I mean, you know, they're counting on like Jonathan Rodriguez to be a guy in the middle of a lineup that hit like 180 to kind of help carry them through. I think the pen is even shakier, even though Smith had a good year, but when Class A went down, it makes it even harder. I'm taking Detroit in three. I think their starting pitching is just a little bit better. And I think everybody's writing them off because they suck so bad. And I think Detroit's going to find a way. It's just a series of two teams that really aren't that good. Kev?
Yeah, Ramirez and Manzardo for Cleveland are the only guys above average OPS, above league average. You mentioned the Tigers' lack of offense beyond Green and maybe Torkelson. I mean, maybe because the Guardians have been so hot, maybe they can carry that through. I mean, they just got done beating up Detroit pretty well over the last couple of weeks. Skubal, let's see if he's recovered from his last outing. You know, when he hit Fry in the face and all.
Which is a big loss for Cleveland.
Which is a big loss for Cleveland, Fry's too.
A big
for
loss, and Kwan kind of came back there. Everybody was talking about how great he was, and all of a sudden he hit 270.
Yeah, I think this series goes three. I flipped a coin. I've got the Guardians winning in three. Wouldn't shock me if Detroit won the three. I mean, let's be honest. This is a toss.
I'm taking Cleveland in three only because I think Detroit is shot. Listen, if it wasn't for Houston just not playing well, they shouldn't have gotten in. To be completely honest, they should not have gotten in. They just I can't see them turning this around at this point. Their little free fall is done. I think they've hit the wall. I'm taking the Guardians in three.
I'm going to take Mize over Ciccone in game three. That's what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. There's nothing else to this.
Let's go to the National League. So Milwaukee's the one. Philadelphia's the two. Dodgers play Cincinnati. That's the 3-6. The 4-5 is Chicago versus San Diego. Where do you want to go, Kev?
Dodgers Reds.
Okay.
Let's start with them. The Dodgers rotation is finally healthy. They go deep enough that Kershaw is not even the consideration for starting any game of the playoffs. That's how well they've got everything lined up now.
He'd have been the Mets ace this year.
Oh, by far. We know the bullpen's shaky at best, but they've got the lineup. The Reds, they're not that good. You know, maybe the fact that they snuck in on the last day of the season, they're four games over 500. Maybe they're playing with house money. Maybe they come in loose. Maybe they get something going. But to me, if the Dodgers don't sweep this in two, I'd be shocked.
I agree with everything you just said, by the way. I'm going to make this easy. I think the Dodgers just have too much. In a short series like this, I don't see them losing. Darren?
Well, you know, there's an interesting stat with the Reds. Let me see if I can find it here. Hold on one second. Okay, the Reds are the first team in Major League Baseball history to have no qualifying batter hit 270, no batter hit 25 homers, no pitcher win 15 games, no pitcher notch 200 strikeouts in a non-shortened season and yet still make the playoffs. There's nothing great about the Cincinnati Reds, but pitching-wise against the Dodgers, they actually match up okay. The stats across the season. Now, the Dodgers had a lot of injuries and all that fun stuff. But the offense makes you nervous, and that was not what we thought we would see. We thought the Reds' offense was going to be electric. And we thought the Reds' pitching staff was going to be a problem. And yet, it was the complete opposite. So, with that, it's like, you know, I'm going to say the Reds win one. And I'm going to say the Reds win game one. I think this game goes, series goes three. I think the Dodgers find a way. Okay. You know, by the way, how come Justin Fields is the only quarterback that can get hit out of bounds and they don't call shit? I just don't get it. But anyway, that's a point for another day. But I think the Reds will win one of these games. I think the Dodgers just have too much. Okay. And that lineup is just so deep.
All right. And the last series, the Padres play the Cubs. Darren, I'll just give you the mic.
These two teams played once before in the playoffs. 1984, Padres 1-5. Steve Garvey with the walk-off of Lee Smith in game four. Ground ball through Bull Durham's leg in game five. And just like that, the Padres did get to the World Series, where they got beaten in five by Detroit only because of the heroics of one great Kurt Pavakwa. This is actually a really interesting series because you got actually have guys that can hit on both teams.
Yeah.
The Cubs get Kyle Tucker back. And if Kyle Tucker's in one of those, you know, stretches where he's hitting because he's very streaky, he's a difference maker. But they have Bush, okay? They have Happ. They have Pete Crow Armstrong, even though he fell off in the second half, still had a 30-30 year. They have Swanson. They got Suzuki. They have three regulars with an OPS over 800. There's a lot of things to like about this team. And offensively, the starting rotation, they're going to go with Boyd game one. You figure Imanaga gets in there somehow a little bit as well. Tyon maybe for game three. I'm not really sure how they're going to break it out. They only announced their number one starter. The bullpen, it's okay. I mean, you know, Palencia kind of grabbed the job, earned it, took it. I don't love the guys setting up for them, but I don't hate them either. They're okay. Keller, Dalbar, Pomerantz, I mean, they're Kittredge, they're solid. The loss of Cade Horton, I think, hurts them.
It does.
Other side,
I agree.
Yeah.
Huge.
The other side is the Padres, who also have a bunch of guys that can hit, you know? But they get, you got Tatis, who's starting to feel it a little bit. You've got Machado, okay? O'Hearn has been good since coming over. Sheets has been good. Arias is good. Merrill's good. But they lost Laureano, who's great against lefty pitching. That broken finger is going to be something that hurts them a little bit. And that's a bit of a problem for this team. The rotation, they went with Pivetta in game one, who's been their best starter. He's the only guy that won double digits. Actually, only two Padre starting pitchers had a winning records. Pivetta and Michael King, who's not starting in this series. Cease, who goes game two, was 8-12. You know, Darvish, who's been really up and down, goes in game three. Padres have an advantage in the bullpen. Lineups are close. Starting rotation, probably an edge to the Cubs. I'm going to take the Pods in three, but I think it's a really close series.
Kev?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there, Darren. I think the rotation's slight edge to the Cubs. If Horton was pitching, it'd be more of an edge. I don't like the Cubs' bullpen. I love the Padres' bullpen. I think that's a big difference. Lineups, I mean, you know, this is the absolute opposite of the Tigers' Guardians as far as offenses go.
Two teams can hit.
But I think when you can bring in those arms out of the bullpen like the Padres can, my goodness, that's scary. I got the Padres in three also.
I'm going to go against the two of you. I think the Cubs win this in three. And I think the guy who we're talking about when it's over is first baseman Mike Bush. I think he's going to hit a couple here. They're in Chicago. I expect the ball to travel. I'm taking the Cubs in three.
Quick point on this series and all the series, right? So they've 1 o'clock game, 3 o'clock game, a 6 o'clock game, 9 o'clock game. When did you ever think the ABC game would be the 3 o'clock game?
I know.
And the primetime games would be the other way. It used to be where the primetime ABC game or NBC game or whatever they wanted would be like on the network. That's how much TV has changed. Listen, we're going to find out what these teams are made of. We'll see if we have any sweeps. There's usually some upsets here in the wild card round. And generally, one of these wild card teams has a tendency to go pretty far. see the Mets of last year. So we're going to find out what happens. But I think we have four competitive, well, three competitive series and the Dodgers, Reds, and I'm giving the Reds a game.
As far as regular season goes, we made predictions for all the teams to make the playoffs. Darren went 6-6. Kevin went 7-5. I went 8-4. We made predictions on over-unders. We took five teams plus the Yankees and the Mets, so it was seven teams. Darren went 3-4. Kev went 5-2. I actually went 6-1, which is pretty surprising. I was pretty happy with that. I got one thing I just got to throw at you because I saw this, and I want to make sure I say it on here. Do you know Rafael Devers this year played 163 games?
Yep.
It's awesome.
Because he played for Boston, they had played one extra game by the time he got traded. He played every game for both teams that he was there. I thought that was just a crazy stat. First time since 2008 that it's happened. And yeah, who was that player? Jose Pagan.
That I wouldn't have had.
I would have had Jose Pagan.
You had me on Jose Pagan.
Yeah.
That's funny. Listen, I'm looking forward to playoff baseball. We'll get excited. We'll see what we get. You guys have any other final points on baseball?
Nope.
G?
That's it. I'm good.
Okay, we'll be back Wednesday with the regular show. We'll just talk a little bit about baseball and we'll talk about everything else that happened in sports. We're the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren here with Kevin here with Gino. Talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where we don't know who the AL MVP is going to be because it's that close, that exciting, and that polarizing. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. Also, we post a lot on social. Please like it. Please share it. Except for the one guy that says I'm spamming him too much. Shut up. Shut the hell up. I'm not spamming you. I'm sending out some regular things for you to comment on. If you don't like it, scroll past it. But without any further ado, may your sports be with you.